Just before we come to the word, I wondered, because it's been so long since we met together, if somebody here is desperate to pray before the word this morning. We've got a volunteer. Don't want to miss any hands getting up, you know. Yeah, right, John, go for it. Thanks, John. The time mic's not working right, so I have to hold this, which means I'm limited for standing here with my notes this morning. This morning I want to begin, it's an introduction to Philippians, which we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks. There's something about Philippians that is filled with different scenarios that are actually not too different from what we're going through today. Our current context, we are through a global pandemic with its effects, its influence, and the way that it's restricted our lives. We hear words and phrases today like social isolation, physical distancing, lockdown, consider others, keep to the rules, we're all in this together. These concepts we'll find in Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. We're actually not going to look at his letter this morning, this is an introduction, okay, in case you're looking up Philippians. But many of these concepts we'll find in Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. It sheds light on the circumstances that he went through that actually relates to our own experience today. Now, let me say that I'm not using this as a comparison to what Paul went through, but simply to illustrate that what we face today is not new. Paul writes this letter from prison. So he's in a form of isolation, he's certainly in lockdown. And we know that Paul's imprisonment may have allowed a certain amount of contact with those friends who were with him in the city, you know, where he was imprisoned. But within Philippians, Paul speaks several times of being in chains, though this simply may be a way of referring to the fact that he is in prison. So nevertheless, Paul is imprisoned at some distance from the Philippians and unable to visit them as he would like to. And we know what that feels like. No being able to visit the people you love, the people you care about, and what that does to you. He knew that, he understood that because he was going through that constantly. Now it's not certain exactly where he was imprisoned. Different scholars suggest Rome, Caesarea, or Ephesus. But wherever it was a good distance away. They were not at hand. They couldn't talk through the window the way some people were doing when they were visiting family at some time. The distance prevented that. So Paul cannot visit, and his only contact is through sending, you know, Timothy and Epaphroditus. It's reckoned that it was Epaphroditus who carried the particular letter to the Philippian church. So anyway, with all the restrictions that we face today, we are blessed to have modern technology. We think we're isolated. We've got telephones, smartphones, computers, Skype, Zoom, WhatsApp, all these different things to enable us to keep in touch with one another. Let me tell you, Paul's means of contact were limited. He was limited to if people would visit him. He had to remain in the same place all the time. So it was dependent on people visiting him or letters. Although at that, during his time, communication wasn't too bad. Roads were quite good. The Romans made a good job of that. So it was relatively good for what they had. So despite the restrictions on Paul, he assures his readers that there is a silver lining in imprisonment. A silver lining within imprisonment. And he points out that his imprisonment has actually helped spread the gospel. It's been effective for the word of God to go forth. It's actually spreading the gospel. So Paul being put in prison for proclaiming the gospel of Christ has become known throughout, as he says, the imperial guard. Many of his fellow Christians have themselves been given a new boldness to witness and proclaim the gospel. Not the kind you would expect when you're isolated, when you're locked down, when you're restricted. And yet here we find the word of God was being spread. It continued to go out there. So I wonder then, you know, when you think back today, has our restrictions today affected us in regards to the gospel going out there? Certainly churches have looked for different ways to offer services, looking to provide spiritual resources, you know, remotely during lockdown. Some have been very creative, whilst others, like yourselves, have aimed at keeping our own members fed and trying to look after our own church. Although the message on Facebook has had a further reach beyond ourselves. Social media today is filled with biblical quotes and comments, and it would be fair, you know, to say that many people have taken the opportunity to put the message out there, to share the gospel, to share scripture, to put news out there, to try and put positive things outside. Many people have been doing that. So while the gospel is being presented through social media, who knows who these messages have actually been reaching? I know that many pastors have been surprised at the fact that so many were tuning in to what they offered online. I've mentioned before that a number of people watch several services. You know, they like to ground different churches and check out what's going on there. And because of that, it's not always easy to gauge what the actual outcome is going to be. You know, because you have all these numbers who are watching your message online or your service, whatever. When the reality comes back, we just don't know what's going to happen. I spoke with another local pastor just this week, and he said the reality for him is that when he opened his church a few weeks ago, he did see an increase in numbers attending, but he also lost quite a number of new converts that they had before the lockdown. He reckoned it was 10 people, just totally lost. Didn't get a chance to disciple them, didn't get a chance, you know, to meet with them, to communicate, and therefore, as a result of that, lost quite a few. So there are many possibilities for someone who is not generally a churchgoer or someone who knows little of the Christian faith to actually stumble across a service or some Christian input on the internet. So really, who knows what this exposure, the effect that it's actually having out there. But we need to still be talking about the Lord. We need to be sharing the love of Christ. We need to be making him known. We need to let him be seen in our lives. So what's the reality when the church doors begin to open again? There are still some churches who are remaining closed. So it's just a gradual thing that's happening at the moment. So what is the reality as church doors begin to open again? Because after the lockdown, will we see lives that have been changed by the gospel? And certainly in Philippians, we encounter the unconquerable joy that comes from knowing Christ. Maybe more than any other letter in the New Testament, this particular one showcases individual lives that were changed by the word of God, by hearing the gospel. The story of God's work is seen in Philippi, the first Christian church in Europe, and it begins with radical life change. It got the attention of the people. In Acts chapter 16, Luke tells us that through a vision that God opened the door to a new area of ministry when Paul was called to travel to Macedonia. And so when they arrived in Philippi, Paul and his team went to a place of prayer, and it was a river outside the city gate, and they found a woman called Lydia, a seller of purple dye. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message, and it gave her the claim to being the first Christian convert in Europe. So this excitement of hearing the good news about Christ became infectious within the town. Lydia and her household were all baptized. She then opened her home to Paul and his companions. Such was the love for Christ and the effect that it had. So was this instant transformation, it certainly opened the door in Philippi. I wonder, don't you just miss that excitement and that enthusiasm of people just coming to know the Lord again? It just, you know, it rekindles something in you when you think back to your own start in your walk of faith, of that excitement that you had. You couldn't wait. You longed for being with the people of God. And there is something in lockdown that takes away a lot of what you've been used to, that will rob us of that excitement and enthusiasm of being together. I'm grateful for you all being here this morning. I don't mean that to sound negative, but in terms of what it does, it makes you guarded. It's made some people fearful. It's certainly made people cautious. And these things can affect our faith. So anyway, well, this freedom to just speak of the love that you have for Christ is welcomed and received by the hearers, looking for that again. But even that didn't last too long for Paul and Silas. Later, when they were on their way back to the place of prayer again, this time they were met by a slave girl who predicted the future, and she earned her owners a great deal of money. She began following Paul and his companions around, and he's shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." Initially, now you would think that was a positive thing, but obviously the enemy was using this tactic to actually put people off. Has anybody been put off by somebody who's in your face with the gospel? Just too much, too strong, too heavy? But this was the enemy using this to distract from the work that God was doing through Paul, Silas, and his companions. Anyway, she kept this up for many days till finally Paul became so troubled that he turned round and he said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the Spirit left. Lives being changed in this way does not always appear to lead to good news. It's something that we can learn from. The fact is that God is in control. Even when it seems otherwise, Paul is trusting. He's in this place. He's in Philippi, trusting that God has called him there. He's called him there to preach the gospel. But as a result of this deliverance for the slave girl, her owners were not happy because their pockets were hit hard. None of us like that, if we're honest. And it certainly got their attention. They were not happy with what they were hearing and seeing. So the gospel of Christ brings life-changing circumstances. Something that begins with a personal change will and should affect the people around us. And for these two women that Paul encountered, both their lives were changed. One led to the birth of a church, the other led to persecution. You know, one of the distinct marks of this transformation is the ability to be joyful in the midst of suffering. And because of the disruption they caused, Paul and Silas were then thrown in prison. That's what happens when the good news goes out there. Can you believe it? People are placed in lockdown. People are left with restrictions. People cannot visit others. Reading a few verses from Acts chapter 16, verses 22 to 30. It's going to be up there. Acts chapter 16, verses 22 to 30. It tells us the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Isn't that amazing? They've been stripped and beaten, flogged, put in stocks, and by midnight that night, they're singing. They're praising God. I'm moaning if I cut my finger. They were singing and praising God. And the other prisoners were obviously listening in to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once, the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" So here you find these guys in prison, praying and singing after being stripped, beaten, and put in stocks. Do you know what? Only God could do that in any of us. What a witness to all of the other prisoners. Now, I'm sure they looked and probably thought, Paul and Silas have lost it. They've lost it. And it made me think, have you ever had anyone think you've gone mad because they see such a transformation in your life? A change that is so different that it gets the attention of everyone who crosses your path. Even to the point where they ask, just like the jailer, "What should I do to get this? What can I do to get a slice of what you're enjoying?" That's the kind of overflow where people were being touched, not only by the gospel, but the Spirit of God moving in such a real way. These are the life changes that birthed a church. Transformation in individual lives bringing renewal. It gets noticed to the point where others want a piece of what it is that you've got. And the simple statement from Paul to the question asked by the jailer remains the same today. When he gets asked, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul replied with the words that would change the jailer's life forever. "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." These are just a few of the stories in the background to the letter to a church that was dearly loved. The letter to the Philippian church is packed with joyful encouragement and pastoral wisdom. It also has a tender and personal glimpse into the lives of Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus. And a church that held a strong bond in their hearts for each other. So even with restrictions and from a distance, we can still encourage, we can still support, we can still help transform lives, just as we'll see over the coming weeks as we work through Paul's letter. And the thing that makes this letter different from Paul's other letters, the letter to the church in Philippi was not written in response to a crisis. It was a letter of love that he was saying, you know, I miss you, I pray for you, I would love to be there with you and I hope to visit you again. Whereas the other letters to, like, you know, Galatians and Colossians, he wrote them as a result of things that he was hearing that was happening there. So here within Philippians, instead, he expresses his appreciation and his affection for them. More than any other church, the believers in Philippi offered Paul material support for his ministry. So you find that Paul's affection for these people is clear throughout the letter as he encouraged them to live out their faith in joy and unity. These very things are the things that will sustain us in times of trial. You know, it's believed that Paul only spent 3 months in Philippi on this visit. 3 months, and a church was birthed. It was established. Households were changed and transformed as a result of it. All established on a relationship that was built on the good news that Christ is Lord. Do you know what? It's the same message today. Christ is Lord. Would you like to say that? Christ is Lord. Would you like to say it again? Christ is Lord. He is Lord. It's the same message that goes out today as it did nearly 2,000 years ago, that Christ is Lord and remains Lord and Saviour and looks to, he wants to be the Saviour to so many more. Let's be encouraged, people of God. Don't let restrictions hold you back from sharing the love of Christ. Don't let it hold you back from sharing the gospel or looking to encourage, to support, or to help others. That we could be a church like the Philippians who cared enough to do something, to make a change, to transform, and to speak out about the love of Christ. You know, when our relationship is built on the same faith, we should be looking to expand on what it is that Christ has begun. Encouraged through the isolation or, you know, or his own personal lockdown, Christ is not contained. He is not concealed. It actually helped spread the gospel. And that's today the very same thing that hopefully we're looking for. We look to do the same through being united in Christ. Let us encourage, let us upbuild, but more than that, let Christ be seen. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you, this is strange being up here. I'm used to sitting in front of my phone in the dining room. But it is so good to be back in amongst you. And I hope the Lord does encourage you, bless your heart for coming out, and from this to help you move forward in the days to come. This is what it's about. This is the start of new things. We'll look to try within our own. We'll look to try and develop media and different things. Phyllis has got a year-long training course coming up. We're getting a whole new presentation system put in as well, so we can look forward to all these things in the days to come. Amen. I'm going to invite Vivian to come up and lead us in the closing worship. And Craig, thank you. Would you like to stand together? I know you'd be fed up sitting there.